For 91.3 WKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on medicine. Many of us here in the Commonwealth live under rules and laws that restrict smoking in public spaces. And my guest today is going to talk about the beneficial health outcomes of those laws as proven in her new study. Dr. Ellen Hahn is professor in the College of Nursing and director of the BREATHE program. Her recent study has shown that communities with smoke-free ordinances have a decreased incidence of lung cancer.
We recently had a paper published in the journal called Cancer, and at the end of November, it was actually published right at the end of Lung Cancer Awareness Month. And we were interested in finding out if there was an effect of smoke-free laws on diagnosis for lung cancer. We had done a series of other population health studies where we asked that same question for emphysema, heart attack, asthma, et cetera. And because we had done those other studies and we had waited a good long time on lung cancer, because, you know, cancer doesn't occur overnight. It takes years for cancer to develop. So we wanted to kind of give it a chance in Kentucky. And we had, you know, had quite a bit of success and variation with smoke-free laws over time, where we have about 45 communities now that have some sort of smoke-free law, different strengths of smoke-free law. So we were able to get some secondary data from the Kentucky Cancer Registry and look at over 80,000 newly diagnosed lung cancer cases over about 20 years. And we combined that with our data from our smoke-free ordinance database to see if, in fact, people living in those communities that had smoke-free laws, if they had any differences in regard to new cases of lung cancer. And that's what we found. We found that people who lived in communities with strong, comprehensive smoke-free laws were less likely to be diagnosed with lung cancer compared to places that did not have laws. And interestingly, we found that communities that had moderate or weak laws did not have that same effect. So it seemed like when elected officials did the right thing and covered basically everywhere without exception, that that strong dose of smoke-free law seemed to make a difference on lung cancer cases.
And to put this in perspective for me and for our listeners, can you give us an idea of how long have ordinances been in place in places like, I guess, Lexington and Louisville were among the first, but as you said, there are about 45 communities now that have these laws and regulations.
Right. So the first law that went into effect was Lexington back in 2004. So that's, 14 years ago. And then since then, communities have kind of adopted over time, you know, and we have about 45 of those laws.
I'm speaking today with Professor Ellen Hahn from the College of Nursing and director of the BREATHE program about her recent new study that talks about the beneficial health outcomes and decreased cancer rates in communities that have smoke-free laws. Are you still hearing pushback? I remember 14 years ago during the debates in Lexington, the sort of specious claim on the part of some, and perhaps well-meaning and offered in good faith, but ultimately not scientific or helpful in any way, was the argument of, oh, this is a personal freedom issue. Are you still getting that sort of pushback?
We still do in places, yes. You know, Kentucky's a politically conservative state. You know, the Tea Party actually grew up here. And so, you know, that argument about personal rights or business rights, we still hear it. But, you know, there's so much research now that it's no longer any debate that secondhand smoke is a significant, serious public health issue and that smoke-free laws are a common-sense way of reducing that exposure. So, you know, it's about the smoke. It's not about the smoker. People, I always say that when communities go smoke-free, people can still smoke in 99% of the landmass of the county. They just can't smoke inside where they work or where they go and do business or restaurants and bars, places that are open to the public. So, you know, these laws are really not even about restrictions outside either, although
right.
some of the laws do restrict in parks and patios. But by and large, what we would ask elected officials to consider, and what we do ask elected officials to consider, is to prohibit smoking indoors, where everywhere people work and every place people go in public places to do business and that sort of thing.
I think it's so ingrained into many of us that public places are smoke-free now, thankfully, that it comes as a shock. I know when I go to some communities in our state where that has not, those types of regulations have not taken effect. And I walk in and there is smoke. And of course, you know, I'm in my late 50s. I remember as a kid that was pretty much everywhere. But I'm so used to being able to breathe freely now that it really is a shock.
Mm-hmm. Well, it changes the norm in a community. Not only does it change the norm, but it really reduces a significant health exposure that people really, workers, I mean, it really is a worker issue, you know, because if you're a consumer and you don't have to go inside a place that allows smoking, then you have that choice. But it's the people who work there that really don't have the choice. And so these laws are really worker health and safety laws. And, of course, the study shows that we, at a population level, we can actually save a lot of money, pain, suffering, and keep people alive longer by these laws if they're comprehensive. So I think it's a real advantage. You know, elected officials have a huge role to play, and they really can, by passing these laws that are relatively simple and don't cost anything, they really can save a lot of lives. You know, lung cancer takes about 4,000, over 4,000 new cases in Kentucky alone a year. And so if every county had a comprehensive, strong smoke-free ordinance, we estimate, based on our study, that we would have about 325 fewer cases per year of lung cancer.
And there's that economic argument of people are healthier and work better, less sick days. And I think also you and I may have talked a few years ago during the debates about this. A few of the bar and restaurant owners who are concerned have actually seen an uptick in revenue since the communities have gone smoke-free.
Yeah, we've done about 7 economic studies over the years, and we've looked at rural areas and urban areas and Kentucky versus Ohio. I mean, we've done a lot of economic studies, and in every one of them says the same thing, that smoke-free laws don't hurt business. And in some cases, like in Lexington, we actually did have a little uptick in employment in the restaurant industry, which is a proxy, you know, for revenues. So, they certainly don't hurt business at all.
Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to hear that I've neglected to ask you about?
Well, I think people need to realize that lung cancer is one of those diseases that's pretty entirely preventable by reducing smoking, by reducing secondhand smoke exposure, and of course radon is in the mix as well. So it's one of the cancers that we know how to prevent, and it's also one of the cancers that is very deadly. You know, people don't live long when they're diagnosed with lung cancer as a rule. And so if these smoke-free laws can reduce the number of cases that are diagnosed, it's a win-win for everybody, and it certainly saves society money as well and keeps people on the job longer as well.
My thanks today to Ellen Hahn, professor in the College of Nursing and director of Breathe, for talking about her new study that proves that communities with smoke-free ordinances have a decreased incidence of cancer. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky. He volunteers his time to bring important medical news to the community. You can hear more of his programs at wuky.org.